Blog Talk Radio.
Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Thinking, Chris, shrinking. Nah, I just don't brag about the deals I've been inking. Honorary degrees from Lincoln. I cross borders like no sheikins and do albums in a weekend. I'm hip-hop speaking, never the weakling. I'm the truth, man, so what are y'all speaking? Them lies and them liars, I still make flyers. I still ride bands and say MC for hire. I'll spit the fire anywhere, any place. Mama never told you to stay out of grown folks' face. Then you got them rappers with that cold, broke face. They toured around the world, then they going no place. My KRS One moves at his own pace. On vegetable oil, no gas, no waste. Then you got these intellectuals, really they're sexual, but they wanna remain respectable. Stop frying.
The national anthem. I mean, it was Marvin Gaye. You know, it was just unique. It was special.
Can you see?
triumph.
And Christ born through the perilous fire. Oh Lord, oh the fire, oh the rampart we watched was so gallant.
You're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. 3, 4. I got something, y'all, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to
sing along.
Lift every voice and sing, till it in heaven ring. Ring with the harmony, oh, let it be. Let our rejoicing rise high. Turn it to south as the North Sea. Let us march on till victory won.
The Talk of Chicago, 1690 AM.
It's time to really say it, y'all. It's time to say it and for real and mean it, y'all. Don't let these folks take the pride out of you, the hope out of you. Don't let them make you feel like you're less than what you are because of the assault that they're having on black people in this country. Welcome this morning, y'all. It's Memorial Day weekend. This Memorial Day weekend. What does it mean, this Memorial Day weekend? Welcome, y'all. Welcome. We're going to probably play Marvin Gaye's song today. His song, he did the national anthem, and I'm going to have a discussion in between all of this that's going on about black folks who used to be in the service. And do you think the decline of the service, black folks being in the service, is going on decline, and a lot of other folks coming in the country going in the service and getting all the benefits and coming back? And a lot of folks built houses, and they built businesses, and they went to school based off the GI Bill. And a lot of folks, we hear Mr. Gardner say he was in the service. But you'll find that I think black folks are not going in the service as high. Young black men are not. And that was an out for some of them who would go in and come back. So we're going to talk about, if you want to talk about that this Memorial Day weekend, given that we are the only group in this country that 90-some percent of us were born here, or been here since slavery, the indigenous, 90-some percent of us, we're the only group that 90-some percent of us are not immigrants because we was forced here so many hundred years ago. But when you look at what's here and what's running the country, most of them are folks who are first generation or they just got here. When you look around all the businesses, folks just got here. But the descendants of enslaved African and Americans are 90%. Just know that. So we're going to talk about that this morning in relationship to your all other things. We're going to talk about school closing. Ron said, bring it to me, y'all. We got to take it to them. I mean, that was such an arrogant statement. Look in the paper and see him and Bennett smile and Master, did I deliver for you? Master, dude, come on, bend over, let me see you shake a tail feather. I mean, that was just awesome to give up, Dr. King said, to sell the future of your children for your immediate direct gratification. It's the worst thing in the world. And Bennett had the nerve to try to quote Dr. King on something else. This fight cannot end. It must not end. And we have to talk about how they are violating the Civil Rights Act, the fact that they are violating the rights for our children to have a quality education. These schools are not quality. And while we're talking about the school closed, we've got to also talk about the quality in the schools they're going to and the quality of the schools they left. They have systematically breeded criminals. Systematically breed the criminals. How do you systematically breed criminals? By not educating people. These schools have been factory of failures. There was a move that went in place for a long time. When you look at the fact that in order for middle class black folks, they either work for the city, the state, the county, the federal, teachers, social workers, none of those things, most of those things are just drying up. It is not available to black folks anymore. I was talking to some folks yesterday, came by the house, and one of them was a lawyer, and him and his wife and some other folks, and I was telling them that until we see the connection of all of us being connected in the need of, folks are going to always be able to just move on us. Wherever you are in life, and if you're black, especially a descendant of enslaved African in America, I don't care what you have, whether you have a business, whether you're a lawyer, whether you're a doctor, whether you whatever you have, if you're sitting on a board, if you have whatever you have, if there are no black folks, there's no need for you. We are interconnected. And right now, and the sad thing about what's happening with us as a people today, and we are under assault, is that we really don't understand. Some of our folks don't understand what's going on with us. They're just thinking it's just some, you know, don't understand the nationalistic point of view. Black folks are afraid to be nationalists. To be nationalistic, that means that you love your people and you're going to work on behalf of them. Economics with a purpose, how do you get economics with a purpose? How do you get education with a purpose? Everything's supposed to be with a purpose for our people. And that's what most races do. Ron is betting on black folks going to sleep. He think he know us. Yeah, I did it. This is the way you treat them. Just push them. You push, even a coward dog would bite you if you keep messing with him, pushing him up against the wall, he'll start barking. But he keep, no, we ain't got to worry about them. And why? And y'all might get mad at me. I think our president is just much responsible for the attitude that people are taking toward us as anybody. We voted higher than anybody in that last election. And at the same time, we've been just talked about everywhere. And nobody's, we're still without sanctuary in spite of how much we voted. It's like, just give us our vote. Everybody, whether whatever level of government, we vote for people and we get nothing. Nothing. Nothing but talked about. We have, you need to vote more. Vote more. We've outvoted everybody. But what do we get and what do we ask for? And when we ask for it, they say, shut up. You want too much. We can't do that just for you. You give $98 million to build some schools. Folks, I'm not letting my children leave the community. But you say it's all right for black folks to leave the community. It doesn't matter. I mean, I want us to be very clear today, and I don't want no nonsense from y'all today, because we have to be very clear that we are under attack right now from every corner of everywhere. And the psychological thing, the post-traumatic slavery syndrome, you know, the PTS, I was explaining that to a businessman yesterday, that the trauma of what happened to us since we've been in this country, all they do is stomp their feet and they come back up. It's like the Manchurian thing, the Manchurian candidate. You remember that? That if you saw that movie where they stopped or they showed certain cards and people started acting up, they passed it on from generation to generation. We fought, we passed laws. We passed the Civil Rights Bill. We passed the Voting Rights Bill. We did everything. We fought when slavery, quote unquote, was ended, and it did not. Jim Crow era, the white folks came up with the black codes. There's all kind of black codes where black folks cannot do, could not go here if you was on the street and you didn't have a job. You went to jail for vagrancy. You couldn't drink here. You couldn't go there. There's some similarities. It's frightening what they're doing to us now. I understand two of our black legislators, and if anybody listens out there, let me know the two names. I'm going to get it. They just got through with a bill, the Texan bill, that if any children come, you be texting to tell somebody to meet you somewhere, and you come downtown, you just said meet me down in a ride going, you can be charged with a crime. Did y'all know that little bill been eased in there? All kinds of things are going on down there in Springfield. Y'all better look at it. There's another bill that's pending, and I'm going to have someone from the Illinois Black Chamber of Commerce come on just for a few minutes later on in the show to talk about this bill that the union is putting in. They got a bill that they're putting in where, in 1965, when Johnson issued Executive Order 11246, to implement Title VII of the Civil Rights Act 64, they were supposed to, and I got this letter from the from Larry, who's with the chamber, but he was the chairman. Now he's anyway, he introduced that, the Executive Order 11246, to make it a workplace for all. That was the act that was passed by Johnson. So what you have, all these different bills in Springfield and everywhere, Springfield, the county, the state, the city. It's a new level of black code. They're introducing this bill, and I think Raul is carrying this bill, 924, the Hoffman bill. And what it's saying is that they're going to pull out the part. If this bill is passed, they have to be in wherever you are in the state, you have to be in an apprenticeship and training program approved by the registrar with the United States Department of Labor in order to get work, whatever they're doing. If you're not part of these unions, you can't get the contracts. So if you want to build a house somewhere, or you want to do this, or you want to do plumbing, wherever you are in the state of Illinois, you have to be a part. You can't do it. Now, how can the union introduce a bill like this? We already are not working. What about the contracts out there on when you look at what's going on in but out of Dan Ryan, all of our communities, you see people working, but you don't see black folks working. So it's a bill that they're easing in, and I think a lot of the black legislators are fighting it. It was my understanding that first they had Maddie Hunter to carry the bill out of the Senate. It's still in committee. We need to keep it in there. And when she saw what it was, she said, I'm not carrying that bill against black people. And then Raul picked it up. They gave it to him. Said, if you want to become big in the state, you ought to carry this bill. It's HBL 924. And what it does is just a piece in the bill that says that, and I think that's what some of the caucus, the black caucus members, some of them call me down there, they're fighting the apprenticeship. The bidder and all bidder subcontractors must participate in apprenticeship training program approved by and registered with the United States Department of Labor Bureau of Apprenticeship and Training. So you can't bid unless you done. Don't bid on nothing unless you which. And this is the union that's the pipe fitters and the plumbing and all that stuff that they have really taken away from black folks when they moved it out of Washburn. And it's going to hurt small contractors. If you want to bid on some stuff with IDOT and all the other stuff and anything that's going on in the city or state, you can't do it. So we're going to address that briefly, but we know you want to talk about the schools, and we're going to talk about the schools. But I was talking about it because all of these laws, these new laws they're putting on us, the black code, and they're always getting black folks. Kwame Raoul, if you're listening to me, you need to call me because you need to not leave that bill alone. That's going to hurt black folks. These black code laws, some other black folks introduced a bill. I told you that if you get your text, a group of folks text and say, meet me down in the Meg Mile, and something drop off, and you've been shown to have, and Monique, I understand you know something about that. If you're on, you listening, comment later, let me hear about it. That then you can be charged with almost a crime when you get thrown to jail. You know, the new Jim Crow by Michelle Alexander, you have to read that and see. So we're going to have Calvin Williams on briefly later on to talk about this. He's the with the committee on the Black Chamber of Commerce, but y'all don't know that much about him. But most of these black folks need to come forward only before they get a crisis. If all these black folks that we got, the Black Chamber of Commerce, with the Black Caucus, or the Black this and the Black that, was truly black throughout the board, and we wouldn't have these problems we're having. I also was talking to a business person yesterday, and we were talking about, I was saying, it's going to be all right. Well, do you think so, Doris? Yeah, it's going to be all right. The problem is that we got to get past this fear. And they know it's still in us because the question of post-traumatic has never been dealt with. The fear of what happened to black folks have never been dealt with. So fear of losing your job, fear of getting hurt, fear of the man getting me, fear of telling on me. So we just kind of get scared. And that's what's going on here. Ron Emanuel think he knows us. He stomp his feet and make fear. I'm going to do what I want to do. What you want to do? You going to do what you want to do to us? Hell no. Why we need some passage to be out there on the corner, black men, to make sure our children get to school? I think you need to be looking at this summer. What you going to do? Put these children in and have some block clubs. Let some action get in our community. Let our community not seem like we scared to come out peeping behind the curtain. Come on out. Teach your preachers. You got churches. You got 10 churches on one block. Get these churches, these preachers meet. And what you do is get together and say, this is what we're going to do this summer. You know, we're going to put together activities, and then we can have a confrontation. We can have them competing with each other about different things. There are things we can do, but no, they say, oh, them old slave Negroes. Okay, we're going to, what it look like, the only group in the whole city got folks standing around on blocks with these orange flaps on. It's almost like a concentration camp or some stuff. It's a black code. When you use words like Karen Lewis said, probation. Crime. You saw the paper last Sunday. They had a cross Sunday and Monday, and then they had it that Wednesday showing raggedy buildings. This red X. You only see red X on buildings when you go to foreign countries. Well, all of a sudden, certain red X's on buildings. All these buildings are not bad. Y'all better watch that. That's some symbolism that's sending this global stuff across. You better watch those red X's. you know. But why is it that we got to have, and this is Runway of setting up his new way of precinct captains, but different from them. We need to know what churches have his contracts and how much are the contracts and how much they paying these folks. And who are these people standing on the corner? The ones you got standing on the corner might be the ones that might decide, oh, I'm going to hang out here and do this. Or I can snatch this. Or I can do that. Who are these people you putting on the corners? So he got all these guys. He's going to get a lot of these churches who's going to get the bulk of the money, then pay some of these folks to stand on the corner. Then you got these other organizations, quote-unquote, so-called black organizations that's supposed to be for your good. So they're getting their payroll. They're pulling down their payroll. We're going to put the right to passage. And they put a few more on the corners. In the meantime, it just don't make any sense. All y'all need to give that damn money back and say, I don't need your right to passage. What I need is a quality education, and we need neighborhood schools. We need one voice. I'm also calling on the state legislator. Do you know how powerful you'll be? You will be so powerful if you came together as a group and say, no, we're not going to go with this. We are demanding that the city of Chicago have a moratorium on these schools because 90% of them are black, y'all. 97% of them. If the black legislators in Springfield would take a stand, sure, maybe you don't have the vote, but at least you stand. And if some of the Latinos want to stand with you, they will. We'll see who they are. If some of the whites want to stand with you, they will, because we have to vote for a lot of them, too. It's not just the black legislators we vote for. And we would see what representatives in this city and in this state and in this county wants to stand with the non-closure of these schools. Not only not the closing of them, but then the quality of education in these schools. I'm sorry, y'all. Barbara Bird Bennett, God is going to deal with her because what she's doing to these black children, and smiling about it. And if you look across the board throughout this country, she's done this and gladly have done this. I'm a black woman and I wouldn't do baloney. Baloney. Because if you was a true black mother, there's no way that she would allow this to happen to black children. I'm sorry, y'all. I love black people, and those are my babies. And all these business folks, quote-unquote, running around here, joining in with that, your children didn't go to school there, money with a purpose. That money that you got, those contracts that you got, because you got it because somebody blood in the street that spilt and said we must be part of the process, so then you got it in corporate America because Dr. King gave his life. Because folks got beat up because of the stance people took, and then you got in there, and the only thing you could do is hurt black people. And then you want to talk about the crime and the shooting from our young men in the street who are shooting up each other, which is really terrible now. Make no mistake about it. That's real terrible. I'm not condoning that. But is that any different from corporate crime on the black community? From black folks who have made it off of black folks be criminal against us? Is that any worse than what Barbara Bennett just did? Is that any worse than any black folks that have businesses, what they're doing to us? Is that any worse that you will not come back to the community like Madam C.J. Walker and Full and all those other black folks who really had money with a purpose, like John Johnson? John Johnson invested in the black community. What's the difference between the crime, the psychological and the economic crime that you're putting on the black community than the shooting up crime that they're putting, that these other young men are doing in the street? You want to stop crime? Stop the drugs at the border. Stop. We're not bringing it in. This new person that Barack just appointed took Fitzgerald's place. He wouldn't appoint that black woman. Said, well, my first thing in Chicago is going to be dealing with drugs and violence and guns. Yeah, that means more black folks going to jail. Well, if it is Mr. U.S. Attorney, then go get the folks who are bringing it in. Stop it there, and then you won't have it. So all of y'all creating crime on our community. So don't play that game. And we all interconnected. Interconnected. And there's a lot of money that people are making off of poor people, whether they're contracts for the schools, contracts for the jail, whatever they are, whether they got their little gas, whether they got their little business, whatever they got. Now you got some new money they're making. They're hustling. It's called a safe passage. Come on, black men. They got no other community in the city have that. So it's all kind of crime that's being invoked on us. I think that the masses understand. Now, y'all might think they don't care. The masses care, and the masses are going to move. Don't fool yourself. We got to get past the organized chaos in our community. So I am going to have Mr. Calvin Williams on at some point, and we're going to talk about what's going on in Springfield with this bill. And I know about this act that was passed under Johnson. How is the union going to come and slide something in, some old black code, to put this bill in there? We got that, and not only do we have that, then we have these other state reps who done passed the law. Black state reps introduced the law about if you come and you've been texting, you could do this. All these new black codes. And that's what we got to do, y'all. So I'm looking forward to the end of school stuff. Don't worry, we're going to fight back. Got to fight back. Got to fight back. So I'm looking to all of this, y'all. We're going to stand up and fight back. We have got to. We have no choice. They think that it's like the Manjurian thing. You see the Manjurian candidate? They would show a flash of cards to the guy, and he would just freak out. Slavery the same way. 97% of us are indigenous African, the descendants of enslaved who've been here. We're the only one with such a high group. Everybody else are immigrants. Very low. It's very low whites who've been here that long. Very few any other folks of color who've been here that long. And then we are 90-some percent, and the rest are from around the black world who are here. And they're not letting them in that much. So we don't have to take this, y'all. A man can't bend your back if it's not. A man can't ride your back if it's not bent. I'm calling on the black community to straighten up their backs. And all you Safe Patch people, get that money back and take a stand. And all of you legislators, take a stand collectively and say, back up and close the schools. You're listening to the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. This is Coffee, Tea, and the Conversation with me, Dorothy Wright Tillman, every Saturday from 6 to 8 on VON. Our number is 773-591-1690. We are streaming live on www.won.com. We're also on iHeartRadio, y'all. You can listen on that. We're on blackplanet.com. We're on Blog Talk. You can go to Dorothy Tillman Coffee Tea and it'll pop up, or Jimmy Underworld Underground. It'll pop up. We're also on Twitter. Once you get your coffee, get your tea, and come on back and talk to me. It's a black thing, y'all. It's a black thing. I'll be right back.
The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Congratulations on landing the job. I'm really excited for you.
Thanks. How's your search going?
The job market's tight. I mean, I can barely get an interview. Yeah. And I've got student loans to deal with.
You're lucky, you know. The National Guard paid your loans off.
Luck. The Guard's a smart decision, one you can still make.
The National Guard Student Loan Repayment Program can pay up to $50,000 of your existing student loans. Get the details at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Illinois National Guard. Aired by the Illinois Broadcasters Association and this station.
There are all sorts of excuses for not saving energy. It's only one lamp. It's
just one TV. It's like all the way in the other room. What difference will it make if I turn things off when I'm done with them or not? If we switch to energy-saving light bulbs, or put in a programmable thermostat,
how much energy and money could it possibly save? Sometimes I wonder if we could be more efficient with the energy we have now
and tuck away more resources for later. You know, it just never hurts to plan more for the future. My name is
Colin, and I'm going to get started today.
We can all help save more energy for tomorrow. What's your excuse? For more energy saving tips that also save money, visit loseyourexcuse.gov/parents. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy, the Ad Council, and this station.
June is Black Music Month. The Joint will be jumping at the Harold Washington Cultural Center as Broadway in Bronzeville presents Fat Scholars Ain't Misbehaving, directed by Cassandra Bell, opening Friday, June 14th. For tickets, log on to TicketWeb.com or call 773-373-1900. Enter code WVON for additional discounts. Our senior days are available, and for group rates, log on to BroadwayinBronzeville.com. This is one show you don't want to miss. See you at the theater.
And now a weather update. Winds out of the south-southeast at 9 miles an hour.
Citizens of America, this is a message from FeedThePig.org. Do not be alarmed. We are here to help you save yourself. According to public records, Americans spent more money than they earned in 2005. This is the first negative savings rate in the U.S. since the Great Depression. America, we must change our behavior. We need to stop spending every dime we earn and start feeding the pig. We must start putting away a piece of our paycheck On the 1st and the 15th, we must pay ourselves before we pay anyone or anything. We must make a budget. And yes, even consider cutting up a credit card. And we must tell a friend to do the same. America, to start moving in the right direction, we must start a movement. Join us at feedthepig.org. Find the benefits of saving for every stage of life. Log on to feedthepig.org today.
And for more traffic updates, brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Oh, hi, Jessica.
Hi, Mrs. Johnson. Is Megan there?
Sure. Follow me. The kids are in the kitchen making sandwiches.
Hey, Julie.
Hi, Jessica.
Hi, Megan. Hey, Megan.
Yeah?
You're a total freak. God, you're ugly. And dumb. Oh, and your makeup makes you look like a tramp. Tommy Morris told me you guys made out. Everybody knows. The whole school knows. He said your breath smelled like garbage, and he almost puked. He says you're the most desperate girl he knows. And that dress is totally hideous. You look like a big fat clown. Disgusting. Oh, and by the way, nice zit.
If you wouldn't say it in person, why say it online? Delete cyberbullying. Don't write it, don't forward it. For more information, visit ncpc.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, Crime Prevention Coalition of America, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
I can help the next customer over here.
Oh, thank you.
Wow, that's a lot of books. Let's see. How to keep your child safe. Child-proofing your home. Child-proofing your yard. Child-proofing your in-laws' home and yard. Well, I'm guessing you have a little one at home.
Yeah.
Well, it looks like you must take good care of her.
Oh, thank you.
Now, let's see. Parents' Guide to Safe Toys. That's a really good one. Parents' Guide to Safe Foods. Parents' Guide to Safe Safety Products. Parents' Guide to Parenting Guides. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater and other safety tips.
Of all the things you can read about keeping your child safe, the most important is attached to the back of their car seat. Read the instruction manual and learn to use the latch system. It makes it easier to be sure your child's car seat is installed correctly.
Parents' Guide to Telling Other Parents How to Raise Their Kids.
To learn more, go to safercar.gov. Anchor, tether, latch. The next generation of child safety. A message from the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
You secure your home, you lock your car, but what do you do to protect your valuables at work? In times like these, crime can happen anywhere, at any time. Taking some simple preventive measures in your workplace can help cut down on theft, scams, and even physical assault. Keep your purse, wallet, and keys locked in a drawer or closet. Leaving your valuables unattended for even a few moments could create an opportunity for a thief. Visitors should be made to check in at your front desk, wear a name badge, and be escorted to their destination. Unidentified persons in your workplace should be reported immediately. Report faulty locks, broken windows, and burned out lights. Use caution when entering stairwells, restrooms, elevators, and parking garages. If you notice an employee acting irrationally, tell your employer. To learn more on how to keep your workplace safe, visit ncpc.org. That's ncpc.org. Crime prevention at work. It works. A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
Mic check, 1, 2. Big poser coming to you faking it ever. Got no more games since I got with the juice. No cruising with my friends, they cut me loose. Now my coach is hating, parents keep berating. Good thing my team's still behind me saying. Hey, yo, what happened to my teammates, man? Hey, yo, where y'all at, man? Come on, man, I thought we were family.
Don't be a poser. Hear more at don'tbeanasterisk.com. Brought to you by Ad Council and the U.S. Olympic Committee.
June is Black Music Month. The Joint will be jumping at the Harold Washington Cultural Center as Broadway and Bronzeville presents Fat Scholars Ain't Misbehaving, directed by Cassandra Bell, opening Friday, June 14th. For tickets, log on to ticketweb.com or call 773-373-1900. Enter code WVON for additional discounts. Our senior days are available, and for group rates, log on to BroadwayandBronzeville.com. This is one show you don't want to miss. See you at the theater.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy. Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Say we want to put
I'm black and I'm proud. If you can't be black, you can't be proud. Something wrong with y'all. In spite of the post-traumatic slavery syndrome, in spite of the attack that's being put on black folks right now, we must fight back. We must fight back, y'all. Welcome back to Coffee Tea and the Conversation with me, Dorothy Wright Tillman, at the Talk of Chicago, 1690. Our number is 773-591-1690. We're streaming live on www.wvon.com. We're on iHeartRadio. We are on BlackPlanet.com. We're also on Blog Talk. You can get us. Come on, y'all. The phone is lit up. I'm going to go to the phone. But we, ooh, ow, we said loud. And we're talking about many things. Now, of course, we're talking about the school closing. We also talking about this bill that's down in Springfield that they're trying to pass, the trade union trying to pass, to slide something in there that you got to be an apprentice to be it. And we're going to have Calvin to come on from the Illinois Black Chamber of Commerce, which I know y'all even know we had it, and I want them to work more than just this. They got to do more for us than this. So we're going to have him come on to explain it for a few minutes before we go to our break, and then we might hold him over. I don't know. I'm going to try to clear this board as much as I can before I get to him. But then we got that, and we also got this school stuff. This is crazy, y'all. We have to stand up. We have to fight back. I'm calling on all these preachers with all these 10 churches in one block. What are you going to do this summer? What are you going to do now? You can put together some different competitive playing ball. If you have any children in your church, maybe y'all don't have them. You know, you like Africa. In Africa, everybody want their own village because everybody want their little piece of the land so they get their own little king. But you got to get these churches, you got to begin to take them and compete. Let them compete in chess. Have your chess tournament. Have your basketball. Have your baseball. Have your academia. Have all of that stuff. You want to get this money. Ron finna get his precinct captains to be standing for some safe passage, take the money, and try to deal with our schools and try to deal with what we have to do in terms of education. This school system had turned out functionally illiterate students, set them up to be criminals, and now they want to put them in jail because they have not taught them to be successful in the global world. And the onslaught continues. Our community is the only one you're going to see these folks standing around with these vests in. Black men, what do we need? Them to stand around with the little vests. How do you know who these people are standing around? And what are they going to do if something happens? You ask them to do the police work as you experiment some more on our children. That's bullshit. We cannot let that happen. Okay, I hope she dumped that one. I wasn't supposed to say that. We weren't supposed to let that happen. You know, we have to just stand up. We got to fight back, y'all. We don't have to take this. And I know there's still a fear syndrome coming from post-traumatic slavery syndrome. And as I said, we're the only ones in this country that's 90% non-immigrants. We forced immigrants. We've been here long enough. The rest of them might have, when you white Anglo-Saxon might have a percentage. All you other folks got a percentage. All these folks are where they are. They have currency and they have country. But we are here. As Mr. Gardner said, he fought in all the wars. This is Memorial Day weekend. This is Memorial Day weekend. And a lot of our folks fought. Everybody, well, I was in this world, I was in that world, don't go. And they came and they set up, they went to school, they set up businesses, they did all kind of other things. Now you got the rest of them going in there, coming up, doing some other stuff just to get, so that they can get naturalized. Some folks won't talk about what the president said in Morehouse. I don't think what he said was correct. It's like when he go around black folks, he got to discipline black folks. What you want the president to do? I want you to pass a bill, an urban policy bill that can deal with jobs and training and a bunch of other stuff. That's what we tell him we're doing. I mean, he don't have to sit back like that. Don't make him all weakening like, oh, that's all right, Mr. President. You ain't got to do nothing for us. We happy with the way you do it. To do it for everybody else, we got your back. You can't have nobody back if you're flat on the ground. They said fall back, not down. Chuck Barksdale told me, as long as he fall on his back, he can see what's coming. You fall on your face, you can't see nothing. Let me go to the phone, and then I'm going to play something. I'll be right back. I tell you, Pam, how you doing this morning?
Well, it's Pam Alderman Tillman. I just want to say I heard a report about they want Minister Farrakhan. I think Connors apologized for some remarks Minister Farrakhan made in anti-defamation.
I think that's just the awful stuff in the world. And they got Kanye. See, and Kanye's not in his right mind to even ask that. He needs to just go. You know, I've been knowing Kanye for a long time. I don't know what got into him.
Well, let me just say this. They can go to hell. Minister Farrakhan is a free man, and he can say whatever he want to say. What I want...
Hey, you ain't free in this country. When you black, you better get back. The black code. Hey, hey, Pam, the black code is all over us, and this is another kind of way, and black folks better understand what these folks are doing to us.
Well, I want the Anti-Defamation League and the synagogues and the rest of the Jewish community, come and get this racist mobster mayor, Rahm Emanuel. Come and get him. He's descended on black people as if he is a slave master. I'm sorry. I'm so upset. But let me say to
he you. He and a bunch of other folks acting like they're masters. But what gets me is the black folks acting like they're still enslaved. And when I saw this picture, this black woman walk around there grinning, did we get up there? I do a good job for your master. I mean, you grinning and you looking at what's happening to these children. These are our babies.
Well, Rahm Emanuel is bringing this mobster mentality.
Well, yeah, but I mean, somebody can bring it to you, but that don't mean you got to take it. That's what I'm saying. Listen, Pam, and black folks leading. Like, he giving these black folks this little old money, some safe passage. All these black folks ducking, can't speak up because they're getting this so-called safe passage. I don't want to see these done flaps in our community.
I agree.
It's a shame.
I totally agree. I see Rahm Emanuel as the enemy of black people. I'm not trying to work with him or anybody who's working with him. We have to draw the line in the sand somewhere. If our children are not worth fighting for, then who is?
That's right.
We have to make sure that we stand for our children. And if we've got to boycott or whatever, I'm not going to a Taste of Chicago or any other celebration if it's not oriented in the black community. Because I'm sick and tired of them wanting our money, but they don't want to fund.
Hey, poverty is a business off, and it's on the backs of black folks. Thank you, Pam. We got to stand up and fight back. Thank you so much. I tell you. Maurice, how you doing?
I'm doing good, buddy. Everything you said, I have to say amen to, particularly economics with a purpose. Last week, you opened the door, Dodie. I was never going to mention that you sent my $52 back to me. It don't look too good publicly, but just like you did.
I want the public to know it. Wait, Maurice, I wanted you to know that because we can't take anything like that from a perspective. That's why I wanted you to know that.
And we're going to have to do that, Dorothy, because economics is the answer to our problems.
Yes, it
America.
Is, Maurice. Economics. But folks, when they get economic, they got to get it with a purpose. Economics with a purpose for black folks, right?
So, Dorothy, get with me on that, and let's get a million people to put $52 together. I only have a GED, Dorothy. I'm not as smart as all of you guys.
Yeah.
I can't count that high. But I know if a million people put up a dollar, we have $1 million. Instantly, we could buy the buildings with the red X on it. Couldn't we?
Thank you, Maurice. Thank you, Maurice.
I love you, Gordon.
Love you more. I tell you. Mr. Weatherspoon, how you doing?
God bless you, Dorothy.
God bless you, too.
Happy Memorial Day. We got a lot of things going on in
Memorial
Chicago.
We're going to spend that time mobilizing.
Yeah, mobilizing, reflecting on where we're at now and where we came from. We're also going to build a sanctuary in our community, Dorothy. We need to build. We need to find where these preachers at. Everybody quiet on education was coming out to the minister that we need to step up.
Yeah, I mean, we got to. I'm calling on the minister to stand up. And, you know, in this summer, we got to get our children on his jumping rope. We got to make our kids get out here and play. We got to have block parties. We got to bring our community alive this summer. We cannot hide back. We got to bring our community alive. Thank you, Reverend Weatherspoon. I love you dearly. Thank you so much. And what I'm going to do now is, because I don't have but a few minutes, I'm going to bring Calvin on. What is and who are the Illinois Black Chamber of Commerce so the community can know who you are?
Sure. The Illinois State Black Chamber of Commerce is a statewide organization that advocates or supports African-American business opportunities in the state of Illinois. We're located in Peoria, Illinois,
mm-hmm.
and we operate in 23 different chambers throughout the state.
Okay. Now, have the Illinois Chamber of Commerce been involved in trying to get some of these contractors, all this work that's going on in the city of Chicago?
Yeah, the Illinois State Black Chamber of Commerce operates primarily on a policy side where we are advocating for policy change to increase opportunities. And so we meet on a regular basis with IDOT, the Illinois Department of Transportation Secretary, and her administrative staff. We also meet with the Executive Director of the Capital Development Board and his administrative staff, along with the Toll Authority and other state agencies. We also meet, with the City of Chicago and other larger urban areas around the state in order to affect policy change, where we have many obstacles that are holding us back from getting work opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
We fight to change those.
Because we right now they're not doing too good in Chicago. So you saying what really got me really interested in this? Because being a part of the civil rights movement with the Dr. King, and I remember the Title VII of the Civil Rights Act that was passed, 11246, that was really trying to make sure that black folks got an opportunity to work. And as I look, that's what got me really interested in this when I read Lyndon Johnson passed that act, because he wanted to make sure we had equal opportunities in his executive order. So tell me, and you got about a minute, I'm going to have to come back on the other side, but I wanted to get folks at least to understand. This bill, House Bill 924, that's the House bill. Tell me about the bidders, this little piece they got about the bidders, subcontractors must participate in the apprenticeship. What do they mean? Because the union, right now, they're not teaching and doing no kind of training for our people. So what is that part? What is the part of this bill that the Black Chamber of Commerce don't like?
Thanks for that question. The House Bill 924 was introduced. This legislation was introduced by the Painters Union and all the other unions. In fact, the AFL-CIO jumped on board later. And what it says is this. As you know, right now, in order to do business with all of major state agencies, the three primary state agencies, which are IDOT, Capital Development Board, and Central Management Services, you have to meet the responsible bidder requirement. You have to be a part of the union because they require you to have an apprenticeship training program.
That's what this bill would do, right?
Yeah, what this bill would do is it now goes into every area of public work. So not just the major state agencies. It now comes down to local cities and smaller municipalities. And it pretty much says the same thing, which means that if you don't have an apprenticeship training program at your disposal as a business owner and you're not in the union, then you cannot have access to this work. You can't participate. And that's the part that we have a problem with. And the way that they're doing it is they're tying this requirement to the Prevailing Wage Act. And so now municipal opportunities that you would have had based on Prevailing Wage Act, you no longer have access to because of the language that they're changing in the Prevailing Wage Act.
So they want to stick this into the Prevailing Wage and Living Wage. They're sticking this little piece in there.
Yes, and because they're sticking it in there, it takes away the access for those of us who have been able to do work as a non-union shop with our local municipalities. It takes that away. So now
from the deliberate small businesses who want to just cut grass or paint a house or build or do some things like that.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me do this. I'm going to I will put you on hold for right now because we don't have to go on break in a minute, and I want to come back to this because that's what I mean about all these little black holes and black codes laws are being passed on us, and black folks running around, they can fight for this, but they can't stand strong and fight for this school. But I understand that Senator Hunter just said, I'm not going to carry this bill and bring it out of committee. She's been standing strong, I understand.
Correct.
Okay, so what I want you to do is hold on, put him on hold, and we're going to come back to you because my engineer is telling me I got to take a break here. Put him on hold for me, and I'm going to take one more call before I go on break. And then I got to go. I got a minute. I got 1 minute. She said I can't. Do you have a minute? Okay, put him back on hold. Okay, you listen to Talk of Chicago Okay, listen, Talk of Chicago, 69 WVON, our number 773-591-6090. We're streaming live on www.wvon.com. We're on iHeartRadio, and we're also on Blog Talk Radio. We're on Facebook, group Facebook. And you can also get us on the web, and you can get us on iHeart. Look, it's so much to talk about today, and it's all about black folks. I want you to get your coffee and get your tea, and I want you to come on back and talk to me. I'll be right back.
The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. It's finally here, WVON.
Hello, Jesus. Jesus, children. Jesus loves you. Jesus, children. Hello, children. Jesus loves you, of America. Are you hearing what he's saying? Are you feeling what you're praying? Are you healing, praying, feeling what you say inside? You better tell your story.
WVON for additional discounts. Our senior days are available, and for group rates,
Log on to BroadwayInBronzeville.com. This is one show you don't want to miss. See you at the theater.
Hi, this is Cornel West.
And I'm Tavis Smiley.
And we're pleased to be heard once again in the great city of Chicago.
And better yet, this signal spills over into my home state of Indiana. So I guess we'll have to get Mama a new aerial for her roof in Kokomo.
Oh, that's so nice. We want you to join us for unique conversations and perspectives as we keep the focus on the least of these.
That's Smiley in the West today at 11 right here on WVON, the talk of Chicago, 1690 AM.
Another perspective.
Tune in to Another Perspective with Dr. Leon Finney every Saturday from 4 to 5 p.m. right here on WVON and get a fresh new point of view. You can be more connected with Another Perspective.
Another perspective. Another perspective. Another perspective. Another perspective.
Live from the Xfinity Studios at WVON, you're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Conversation with Dorothy Tillman on Chicago's legendary WVON, the talk of Chicago, 1690 AM.
Doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind.
I've been to the mountaintop. I've been to the mountaintop. He allowed me to go and been to the mountaintop. It's that time, y'all. It's 7 o'clock, y'all. It's that time. Take that deep breath. Take the deep breath. It is that time, and I'm going to move it along because I got so many calls, and I got Calvin Williams still on the phone from Illinois Chamber, Black Chamber of Commerce. And I want to get through with him, then I'm going to go on back to some of the other calls. That time, take that deep breath, y'all. Take that deep breath. Black. One more time, y'all. Black. Don't that feel good, y'all? It's all right to be black. It's all right to be black, y'all. You listen to Talk Chicago 69 WVON. Our number is 773-591-1690. We are streaming live on www.wvon.com. We also on blackplanet.com. We're on Blog Talk, y'all. Go to Dorothy Tillman Coffee Tea, or you can go to Jimmy Tillman Underground, and you can find us. We also on Facebook, Twitter, and group Facebook. And we have people listening to us from around the world, from around the country. Next week, y'all, I'll be broadcasting from down south. I'm traveling south, going to Alabama and Florida, so I'll be broadcasting from down south next week, y'all. So you listen. I know a lot of folks want to know what's going on with these schools, what's going on with black folks. We have to have money with a purpose. We have to have a position with a purpose. We got to work all the time on behalf of black people. You cannot be scared. We don't have time to be scared. We're being wiped out. If we don't fight for black people or fight for our babies, who are we going to fight for? I don't care who they are. We are under attack. I told you about the black codes that was put in place. After they got through with slavery, then they went into the black code. They came where you couldn't go to the washrooms. That's what Jim Crow can. You couldn't do this. You couldn't do all these things. All these laws and stuff they began to write. Right now we're under attack and we're feeling real bad and don't know why we are feeling bad. We are feeling bad and can't even describe. Let me just have not been long ago, 50 years, that you couldn't go down the highways and byways of this country and you could not pee in the weed. You went to the wrong weed, you might have gotten lynched. You couldn't stop. You couldn't stop if you wanted to rest. You couldn't rest yourself. You was in Chicago. You could not go west of Racine. You was caught up in this little ghetto, you know, this little ghetto where you couldn't move. You couldn't stretch out. We had a lot of things we could not do and not have not been long ago. And we are suffering from post-traumatic slavery syndrome. So what they do is they stomp their feet and we go back into that fear. We got to come out of the fear. We don't need no safe passage of these folks, these jackets in our community. Do you know how that looks to the world? Folks standing around these weeds and all these raggedy buildings with jackets on them, a safe passage. No other group would take that for their children. Who knows? My children are not coming from neighborhood schools. We're going to build new schools. Your neighborhood schools, your business are very important. And we're sitting there, oh, yeah, give me this money. Let me just hustle. There's money being made off of black folks. Is it because I'm black? I tell you. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to go back to Calvin and get through with him, and then I'm going to take some more of your calls so we can, I'm going to get Calvin. Hello, Calvin.
Yes, good morning.
Oh, good morning. We're back. We're going to talk about this a few more minutes, and I'm going to go to the phone because my phone is lit up. Just give folks an overview of what's going on so they can know what to look out for down there. I think my biggest thing is it's saying that if you are a small contractor, you're not in the apprenticeship, you're not in the union, you're not this, you can't paint, you can't do this. That affects all these little small suburban communities. It affects all these young people. These people out here trying to cut grass, trying to do this. And I knew when they came over that we had the African-American home builders. And they came over and they tried to shut down some of our jobs. And I said, not over here. I said, you won't even train them. They're not in the apprenticeship program, they're not in anything, and you're going to shut the jobs down? It's another way now squeezing black folks out of position. That's what I would say. So tell me your take on this.
Well, absolutely. This bill, House Bill 924, will affect anyone trying to do any type of public works. Mm-hmm. And so if it's your traditional job that you're trying to do with any of these villages, Orland Park, University Park, as far south as Carbondale and Cairo, Illinois, anywhere in the state of Illinois, if we're trying to do any types of public works, meaning you're doing work for the municipality or any type of government entity, this bill affects you, and it will block you from being able to do that work if you don't have an apprenticeship training program.
Why do you think the union is sticking this in real quick at this junction? Why do you think they're doing that?
Well, my opinion as to why they're doing it is that they have an unfunded pension issue. And so they're trying to force any and everyone, primarily on the backs of taxpayers' dollars through government and through policies like this, to pay into that pension fund. The unions are struggling with that issue. We are aware of it. And I believe that is the reason why they are trying to force everyone to get involved with the organization.
And also to force black folks out of jobs some more. We already don't have contracts. When you go up and down the Dan Ryan now, we are really in trouble. We don't have anything. We can't get anything anywhere. We are the most unemployed people in this state.
Right. And the fact of the matter is that there have been disparity studies done throughout the state, and they consistently come back and show that African Americans are getting less than 2% of state contracts. And you were talking about many billions of dollars that have been awarded in contracts throughout the state, and we are the least among all the minorities when it comes to getting money in contracts through the state.
Mm-hmm. And you can see that here. We go up and down the expressway, and you look at IDOT, you look at all of the things. So what do you think that the community need to do? When I read this, I was really concerned. I tell you what concerned me. I saw the letter that the president had written out. But when I looked up and I really remembered this executive order that Johnson issued to try to get black folks to work, and he said all people, but he issued the order. So this would directly affect the Title VII, huh, of the Civil Rights Act.
It has been for years. The unions have – there's been no accountability to Title VII, and we have not been consistently holding them accountable to Title VII. And so in an effort to improve our position when it comes to state contracts, we simply have to come together as a race of people, of business owners, and we have to start holding our legislators accountable. We have to start holding all of our government officials accountable to make certain that we are included. Mm-hmm. The policies are being written every day. They're sliding policies in, policy changes in that are putting hurdles in front of us that are eliminating us from opportunities every day. And so, you know, what we have to do is we have to come together and we have to start holding these folks accountable. It's said that African Americans have some of the shortest memories among races. And so, you know, what that simply means is that they can say one thing to us today and we'll forget about it and listen to what they say differently tomorrow. There's no accountability. So I think that that's what we ought to be doing among the leadership of all the different organizations in the state that are representing African Americans. We need to come together and we need to start holding our legislators accountable, and we need to start holding anyone that has access to or deals with our tax dollars and contracts accountable to ensure that we get a greater share.
Well, I think that is not that we have short memories. I think we're suffering from post-traumatic slavery syndrome, we have really, as you said, come together as a people, because right now we are under attack. Calvin, is there anything else you would like to say? Because I don't know whether I'm going to go to my callers. I was going to let you take a few calls, but I think most of the folks want to talk about the schools and stuff. So you, sure. Is there anything else you would like to say? I see Eddie Reed is on the phone. I know he deals with contractors. I wonder,
yeah.
Let me see what Eddie wants, because he's on this phone. Let's see what he wants. Eddie.
Good morning, my sister.
I think you called at the right time. I mean, I know how you deal with the contract. We're so happy to have Brother Calvin on.
Well, actually, I deal more with the workers. And good morning to you, my sister, and good morning to Brother Calvin.
Uh-huh.
Real quickly, I want to say this real quick in 5 seconds. Discrimination does exist in the labor movement.
Of course, we shut down a bunch of sites because of what they're doing to black folks, and this is really terrible. You know about this Title VII?
Yes, I do. Hold on just a second. Some unions governed by the racist ethos have contributed to the degraded economic status of the Negro. The Negro has been barred from membership in certain unions, denied apprenticeship training and vocational training. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said that to George Meany and to the AFL-CIO convention on December 11th in 1961.
Let me ask you this, because my board is lit up, Eddie.
Went on to tell...
Eddie, for the sake of time, because my board is lit up, this whole thing on this bid of contract and this...
It does not hurt black workers.
Don't know about that, Eddie.
No, I'm going to tell you why.
Eddie, I don't know about that.
But may I tell you why it doesn't hurt black workers?
I mean, anytime they're going to mess with something that's in place and say that you got to be part of some...
May I tell
printer.
You why it doesn't hurt black workers? Because Calvin and the chamber can establish their own apprenticeship program. You don't have to... This doesn't say...
But I mean, come on, Eddie.
...apprenticeship program. It
but
says
Eddie,
Department of Labor apprenticeship program.
Well, let me ask you this, Eddie. Now, me and you are going to kind of disagree on this. Just, you know, I think that why
that's
should...
Fine.
Well, I'm saying why should they... Why should black folks have to establish something new? That doesn't make any sense. I think what they're doing is sneaking all these little bills, and I understand there's another bill out there. These folks are doing some stuff to us, Eddie. It doesn't make no sense that Gay would have to go through setting up some apprenticeship program.
Everybody says that we can't find trained workers. To me...
But that don't mean we can't train. We can still train, but we don't need them to put nothing in no law, Eddie.
We need standardized training. We cannot have people unilaterally training people without a standardized training so that we...
I'm not a... Listen, Eddie. I'm not opposed to trading. I'm opposed to this bill. And opposed to this bill because in this bill, they're trying to stick something in there. What I want them to do is do the training they were supposed to do before now when they moved Washburn out. We know the racism that exists
with
this.
That's what I'm talking about. This Washburn was a standardized DOL training program.
But I'm saying we should still push for that, but we should not allow this bill to go through because it's a more problem.
The reason the bill should go through is because it protects black workers and all workers to give them a skilled training. Now, you can disagree with me.
I mean, I'm saying that we can make them do this.
And let me just say this to you, Dorothy.
But you
Raul,
got to,
there's wrong information on Raul.
But right now, Eddie, I got a guest on the line, and I just want to let you know that I disagree with this.
Well, I request
okay.
the opportunity to be a guest.
All right. But no, I'll call. I know you're not for this bill. I know you're not. Anyway, I know. Hello, are you there, Calvin?
I'm here, yes.
Yeah, I didn't know. I just thought he was going to, I'm going to try to, anyway, what is he talking about? I know Eddie, I've known him for a little while. I just knew he was going to be talking about this bill was wrong. That's why I pulled him in.
Well,
on the call.
I can tell you offline why Eddie supports this bill. We've spoken. And the fact of the matter is he's wrong. He's on the wrong side of this issue. He's wrong.
But, what is it about? He's saying that some training. I think we can do. We're just different. I think we can, if we want to force these folks to do apprenticeship training, fine. But we don't need these folks to sneak no bill in on us. That's what my concern is. Don't sneak no bill in on us and make it even worse. That's what I don't like.
And it's not as easy as we met with the AFL-CIO president and his leadership. We've talked about directly with them what it means, and we know what it means to establish a DOL-approved apprenticeship training program. And, everyone wants to sell it as if it's easy and it's inexpensive. Well, when we asked them, we showed them our numbers and asked them to refute our numbers. They could not. The fact of the matter is, in order to establish any training program, you have to have a facility, you have to have certified trainers. Trainers have to be certified by the DOL.
But my thing is, Kevin, do the training what you got now. You don't have us in the trades now. Do that.
Right.
Put them in there now. We don't need them to slide this bill in here. We can keep working on what we have here doing this while you do the training. I just think it's a sleight of hand. Kevin, I want to thank you, but I have to go into some more issues. I thank you. I'm going to have you back. Eddie, thank you for calling in. I grabbed you in front of Mansung, even though I was supposed to get Mansung next because I just knew that he was going to really – this doesn't make no sense, House Bill 924. So we have to watch it sometimes. These folks are really slick what they're doing to us, Calvin.
It is, and they're doing it every day, Ms. Tillman, and that's why I'm saying that we have to unite and we have to stand firm on the issues that best represent our interests.
And I agree with you. And Calvin, we got to look at all of our total interests, not just this. I'm talking collectively when we look at what's going on with the schools. You can't just come talk to me when this is happening right here. But we have a whole lot of other things going on with us. We look at the Dan Ryan. We look at all the other things. We have got to collectively come together to make sure our people work.
I agree 100% with you. And if you don't mind, I'd like to thank Senator Mandy Hunter and Representative Will Davis for fighting hard and pushing through legislation on House Bill 3267, which is a bill that says that if you do IDOT work specifically and you're awarded a contract, they will help fund any financial gaps that you may have that will allow you to meet the requirements for that contract. So the chamber would like to publicly thank Senator Hunter and Representative Davis for taking on that challenge.
We thank them, too. And if Davis is out there, Davis, call me in if you know anything about this bill. We're proud of Maddie Hunter for not even wanting to carry this bill. Thank you. I have to go to the phone. Thanks, Kevin. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And if Monique and Maddie, y'all listen to me. If y'all want to call, y'all call in. Because why you got to do a bill? Why you got to do this? This doesn't make any sense to me. Something don't smell right with this. Manson, how you doing this morning?
Hey, a soldier still standing. So, hey, listen, I beseech you to let me have a few minutes because it's some important things.
Manson, my board is lit up like I don't know what, and I got like 30 minutes.
Well, I'm going to light it up even more with
this
information.
Yeah, so hurry up. I just want to go to some of these people are waiting longer than you.
First
I just told you.
First of all, it's Pan-Africanism or perish, dear people.
Mm-hmm.
It's not only Memorial Day weekend, but more importantly, or just as importantly, it's African Liberation Day weekend worldwide across the African world.
Okay.
Now, this is the 50th anniversary of African Liberation Day, and it'll be celebrated and observed in Africa, in the Caribbean island nations, in Europe where black communities are, in South America, and right here in America. D.C. is having a big...
How do you think we should celebrate right now with all this assault going on in Chicago?
Well, when I say celebrate...
Listen to me. Wait for a minute. I'm saying, and it's not like a second. It's not on you. I'm saying, with all the stuff that's going on, how can black folks use this as a gathering and come together to begin to deal with some of this assault that's happening to us?
Well, it's a celebration, but it's also an opportunity for political education,
right?
International linkages and all that kind of thing. In fact, last night, the All African People's Revolutionary Party had their annual symposium at the University of Chicago where they were dealing with our issues, particularly on the international level. So,
yeah, but I'm saying, how can we use these opportunities right now? We're under assault here, and how can we use this in mobilizing right now? That's what I was saying, man.
You build consciousness, and you have organizations working. But one of our problems has been we didn't heed Malcolm X when he said that civil rights was domestic, human rights is international. And even Attorney Stan Willis has had some success at the international level with that John Birch case. It really got moving when we went international with it. So we got to understand that we need to link our people globally. We're global people. So I would ask your listening audience and yourself to come out today to the Winnie Mandela Alternative High School, 7847 South Jeffrey. We're going to march at 12 noon from 78th to 71st and Jeffrey and back. We're going to have a rally at 2 p.m. to about 5 where we have performing arts.
Are you going to be addressing the school issues, these problems we're having in the city today?
Well, they will probably make some mention, but the focus is not on domestic issues. Now, we have to do some of the stuff simultaneously, but, Dorothy, a lot of people understand that we can solve many of our domestic problems if we pose them as human rights violations. So it's important that we participate in African Liberation Day activities. So
yes,
it's a free thing,
mm-hmm,
you know, fun, food.
So what time now? For what time? Where?
12 noon to about 5:30 p.m. Now, the other piece is before that.
I got hard to go, man, son. Hurry up. I got whole borders lit. I got 20 minutes.
Okay, before that, today we would invite you to the Communiversity at the Jacob Carruthers Center for Inner City Studies. At 11 o'clock, Cam Howard and Dr. Anderson Thompson will be dealing with.
Give us a time. I got to go now. What time they got to be there? I got to go right now, man, son.
Okay, very important.
What time down there?
Okay, come at 11 o'clock to room 403.
11 o'clock.
East Oakwood. We got a trio dealing with blacks and genocide.
Thank you, man, son. I got to go to this phone. These folks going to get me. Okay, I tell you, it's something. Joe, how you doing?
Hello.
Hi, Joe.
Yes. It's a wonderful program here because this school closing thing has been eating me up. I'm a graduate of High Park High School, Governor State University, just recently retired from African Trinity Hospital as a med tech. Resident of Robert Taylor Home.
Yeah.
This should be a federal investigation.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't these schools receiving federal funds? It should be a federal and state investigation. This should not be just
laying down. Right, they're violating the quality of the education for our children. That's why I think our role's got to be here. I was always told you got to clean your yard up before you go somewhere else. And right now, in this city and in this country, we're being under attack. And the quality of education has been, separate but equal. We've been separate and very unequal. And if we allow these folks to do this to us, we can forget it. We can forget it, Joe.
Education is one of the institutions of a social society.
Right.
So what institution is next? The church?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're coming through that. It's a historical move. This historical move should be investigated.
Right.
In the whole United States, this is the biggest closing of schools yet.
But
they should be waiting for the federal people to knock on their door and say, "What did y'all do?" Mayor Daley's terms, and what did he do? He set this thing up with a stormtrooper police force.
Mm-hmm.
This is deja vu of the Holocaust.
Let me tell you this, Joe.
The Jews first, and then what happened to the Jews later?
Well, some of them just walked on. They thought they was going to take a shower. They said they took them in there, and they said a lot of them was walking, thinking they was getting a shower, and look up, and I saw this. I always saw this stuff burning. Right now, we're walking in like we're taking one. But you know what, Joe? I think that if we allow, Dr. Keith, what happened in Chicago spreads across the nation. And if we sit here and we allow these folks to push us like this, the way they're doing in Detroit and everywhere else, we have got to fight back. We have no choice but to fight back.
We better fight back. And if they succeed in it, we better keep standing and let the rest of the nation know what will happen when people shut up and don't do nothing.
Right.
They end up in the gas chamber or on the L track getting ready to be electrocuted.
Right. Organized confusion is going on in our community right now because cowards don't want to fight, so they have you looking to the sky. Thank you so much.
You can't hardly blame them because we were terrorized by the police for 20 years.
By this country. This country.
Black folks every 4 days. That's just like the KKK. They were resolved to kill a black man every 3 or 4 days.
Thank you so much.
To keep the rest of us in line and terrorized.
Thank you, Joe. That's that organized chaos that's going on in our community right now. Y'all got to be very clear on that as these folks are moving on us. Black men, you have got to stand up. We don't need folks standing on the corner of these jackets on them a safe passage. Do you understand how that looks to the world? And right now they have taken our children in this city and showed them like they're dummies and they don't want this and this is what they're doing. Look, the violence that's being put on our children and on our people economically and all the other ways is just as deep as anything else. We have got to fight back. And black women, please stop letting these white folks get us to be using us against our own people. Black people, I mean, no other race would do that. And nobody respect you if you're willing to sell your birthright for a bowl of soup like Esau. Thank you so much. Minister Plump, how you doing?
Black. Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning. How you doing?
How you feel?
All right.
That's good. I just want to share a little information right quick concerning the Harold Washington Foundation and the People's March, which we are going to be having a fundraiser and a raffle this Sunday at 235 East 58th Street. And it's going to be a press conference as well as a raffle concerning the jobs for the people in the red, black, and green. And also I can be reached at 312-671-2773,
okay,
which is promoting unity in the community for freedom, justice, equality, and economics.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Plump. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so
much.
I tell you, it's something. Sarah.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Tillman.
Good morning.
Yes, but yeah, I'm not going to take up your time. I was laying here sleeping. I said, let me give you a call. I was just reading. I was late on. Well, I'm for the school. And like you said, a little slight mayor down in Chicago, something has to be done. He has to be removed away. He's doing our people and our children.
And what's going on in our community? We cannot have our community be projected, like killing all our hope and our spirit. You know, they had this thing, and they did this special in the Sun Time and on the TV to make you think that we're just wiped out.
Yes.
That's not a representative of us. These folks are messing with the minds of our children.
That's right.
And we're sitting here taking this. It makes no sense, Sarah.
Well, I've seen a time when you and I and more parents, all this would have been nipped in the bud at that time. But things are different with our young people, our parents.
Well, it's not the – see, they want to put it on the parents. It's,
well, they're not strong like you, like we were back then. My daughters and their children and the grandchildren, I talk to them constantly every day. Be strong. Go to school. Fight. Do this. But it's just a – I don't know.
You got more organized chaos right now. These people, they have organized, and they're moving, and you got these sound bites. They give us these sound bites and we repeat it. Don't close the schools. And we never talk about the quality of education.
Yes.
We got folks just putting stuff, and we have just got those of us who know better got to help our people do better.
Well, I don't see my children or nobody else's children, my grandchildren, going past in the liquor store that voted up and the guys are standing there. You know, it's just something now. I don't know. It's something.
It is something.
But I want to say this, and I'm going to hang up here. I you know, I get the newspaper and I put them aside, but I was just reading on last night paper.
Hello, Jesus children. Jesus loves you, Jesus children. Hello, children, Jesus loves you of America.
man.
What you saying? Are you feeling what you're praying? Are you healing pain? Feeling what?
I knew that was a slip. Okay, and Karen Lewis. Oh, I know. That's why I said let's straighten this one out.
That was an error. Karen Lewis, Chicago Teachers Union president.
Right, right.
Belfontein registrar class. The house was packed.
I heard. Deja vu over at Belfontein.
I was up in there, and you know, I got my certificate under Harold Washington, but I'm with the Teachers Union, okay?
Yes, yes.
I'm with them. We're going to be registering people everywhere to get rid of Rahm Emanuel.
Well, you know,
and I noticed, I noticed one alderman that's always present and always there with the teachers, and that's Rod Sawyer.
Uh-huh, he's kind of strong.
He's always there, you know, because I'm always there.
Let me ask you this.
I know, I see him, you know.
Uh-huh, let me ask you this. Do you think that if all of the state, our state reps and senators, do it together, made a stand and call for a moratorium on these closings, that would make a difference, wouldn't it?
It would make a difference.
If they just,
of course it would make a
difference. If they called and then if all of our aldermen, they all stand and call for a moratorium, can you understand that unity, what it would look for the children and for the people in this city?
It would definitely make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see how elected officials are going to deal with this issue, so we'll know what candidates to put against them.
Yeah, well, I'm calling them to collectively take a stand because it's affecting the black community, and then maybe some other ones will join in with them. But I'm calling on all our state officials to take a stand and demand a moratorium on these closings because it's affecting our people. And also, I think it would send a hell of a message if they would do that.
It would send a hell of a message. I'm also concerned about the people taking a stand. I really want them to, the elected officials. But if they don't, those people that have organized and taken the stand will be a majority to help get rid of those that didn't take a stand, because we definitely got to clean
up. And it's across the board. We vote for people and we don't get nothing from this. I mean, what right now we got this organized chaos, and our community is under attack, and we have to fight back. Thank you for being on the front lines, Akia.
Well, let me just tell you this, Alderman. The black veterans are out there. Please give to the cause. They're out in our communities, and I just want to say all praise is due to Allah for bringing them back home from these crazy wars that they had to participate in.
Mm-hmm.
So give to the black
veterans. I'm finna play Marvin Gaye for them right now. Thank you. This song is for the black veterans. Understand that black folks have been in this country forever. We fought in every war. We built this country, black labor, white wealth. And this country would not be a place that anybody could come to if black folks had not fought the way we fought, not only on the battlefield, but because we gave our blood and built this country. Y'all don't hold your head down. Let's fight back. We have a right to the resources in this country. This is Marvin Gaye. This is to our black veterans.
What's so proud we hail at the twilight land gleaming. Ooh, broad stripes and Christ through the perilous fight. Oh, Lord.
We fought in every war. We also built this country. We don't have to take this mess. We got everybody enjoying what we built and fought for. We got to fight back. You can't come in this country and do this stuff. It's our country. We have a right to the currency. We have a right to the resources. The continent is Africa, but the descendants of the slave Africans is America. We're not immigrants. We're forced immigrants. We built this. Everybody can enjoy the food, but us, ain't taking it, Mr. Mayor. ain't taking none of y'all.
Five stars, spangled banner. Yeah.
Black veterans, come on, I know, Mr. Wall. Hey, Mr. Gardner, this to you. You say you, Mr. Gardner said I was in the Korean War. That's why you sat out there fighting for jobs.
And the
Mr. Gardner, who's standing out there fighting, he said, I've been in the Korean War and I have a right. Woo! Woo! Marvin Gaye, y'all, Marvin Gaye. Sale, how you doing this morning?
Really disturbed.
I would get you on that one, my brother.
Yeah, really disturbed. I got my book.
You got your book?
Advice Among Masters.
Yeah, something
is. I went to the content, and it has a chapter on cleanliness.
Uh-huh.
Of course, that was the first one I went to.
Uh-huh.
The slave owners talked about how they made such a sincere, direct effort to keep the slaves clean, mm-hmm. the same way that farmers today talk about keeping their oil changed in their tractors.
Yeah, so they won't get no disease and germs and all
yeah,
that stuff.
Yeah, because it's healthy for the business.
Yeah.
Now, I'm glad that the kids just said something about the black veterans. You know, I'm always challenging them to come and help me clean up our damn community.
Mm-hmm.
We know what clean means. We were pushed with that discipline. It's the thing that controlled us while we were in the military, no matter how long we stayed in there. And that is something we can do to bring some type of discipline to our community by cleaning it up. In war,
hey, we used to sweep the dirt down south.
In war, you have to make sure you have the right person in your foxhole with you, Dorothy, because a lot of times that is what results in, if you don't know who's in your foxhole, that's what results in friendly fire.
That's right. Listen, hold that for a minute. Hold that for a minute, Sal. We got friendly fire going on in our community right now with this disorganization, misinformation, organized chaos, leading the way for the master, boy. This friendly fire is killing us, Sal. I like that.
We have to understand.
I like that analysis. I don't like the killing.
You can use it for a month, and then you're going to start paying me. We have to understand where we are weak. If we're going to do anything about this Goliath in front of us. I'm participating in a training workshop in the North Lawndale communities at the schools where we're trying to provide some understanding to the parents on what they can do at home. At 10 the other day, Dorothy, there were about 23 people that showed up. Two were black.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what the rest were?
Well,
Hispanics.
So, you know, you got, I mean,
no,
I
don't. And that's what I'm saying about we have got to understand where we're weak.
Well, let me
lack of desire to want to understand.
Let me tell you, when we came to Brown's Chapel, 4 people came to the meeting, then 10 people came. Those of us who know have to leave those who don't because we got organized chaos. Don't, you know, it doesn't make us so great because we came and they didn't. What it is, we got to keep on teaching. We got to keep on moving.
I'm a student of the Gideon philosophy sometimes. Don't take everybody.
Okay.
Just a few who understand what the fight is about.
Okay, thank you, Sal. I got the lit up boy and I got 15 minutes. I thank you so much. Thank you. He got that book, y'all. You can't say nothing to him. He got that book. We got to fight back, y'all. I'm going to play Charles Bevel for y'all in a minute, but we got to fight back. Maceo, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. Good morning, Alderman Tillman. I just wanted to touch quickly on two of your topics in reference to the Chicago school closings. It's a travesty. However, I will continue to stand and support our children, their parents, and Chicago Teachers Union, Mrs.
Karen Lewis.
Oh,
hey, to the red, black, and green. Folks scared to say that anymore, Maceo.
Oh, red, black, and green. Red, black, and green.
Uh-huh.
Let me say that right, loud and clear. All right. And then secondly, in regards to, the summer programs for the churches have done that before. All of the major churches on the south side, all of the major churches on the west side during the 60s had baseball programs, basketball programs, social centers for all of our children, and they have and churches, please do that again.
And they got to do it again. Well, right now, see, Ron Emanuel's playing this precinct captain game. Folks got their hands off. Forget this safe passage stuff that they're going to give us money for. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, we have got to stand up, y'all. I want to see our community got to come to life this summer. We can't be back there. We can't take this.
Oh, no. And then, Alderman Tillman, last week you played the song To Be Young, Gifted, and Black.
Right.
By Nina Simone. Lorraine Vivian Hansberry in 1963 was in the hospital. She got out of the hospital bed, and she went to honor these young people with the United Negro College Fund that had won a contest. And she told them, that's where the phrase came from, you are young, you are gifted, and black.
And Margaret Burroughs wrote, hey, black child.
But I'm just saying that to say that our history is a great teacher. And
right.
Who knows where the next Lorraine Vivian Hansberry is unless our children know our history. Fats Waller's birthday was this past Tuesday.
Yeah, we're getting ready to do Ain't Misbehaving. We're opening up June 14th, and we will be at the Harold Washington Culture Center, and we're going to do it that whole month. That's a good Father's Day weekend to come out. Ain't Misbehaving with Fats Waller. That'll be good. We've got to come out.
Absolutely, and they have to know the history of Fats Waller, a preeminent man in every way. And then tomorrow is Mamie Smith's birthday. She was the first African-American female to record a blues song on August 10th, 1920. She was born in Cincinnati, Ohio on May 26, 1883. But she was such a fabulous, multi-talented woman, as was the great Thomas Wright, Fats Waller. So please, young ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening, learn about these.
Well, come on out to the play, too. Come on out. And June 14th, we're kicking it off. That's Father's Day, and we're going to be Ain't Misbehaving at the Harold Washington Culture Center, 773-373-1900, 773-373-1900. Michelle, how you doing this morning?
Good morning, Alderman. Excuse me, Miss Tillman.
That's all right. Good morning.
Good morning. I wanted to, before I make my comment, just tell Brother Saul, that we are doing that, what he suggested, cleaning up the neighborhoods. In fact, every Saturday, he could just, you know, follow our children. And I'm not going to tell him where on the air, but he just needs to pay attention. We're cleaning up our neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, the reason why I'm calling, I just wanted to ask everybody, all the queens, like Zakiya, Queen Sister, and yourself, and all the brothers, the kings, are you all prepared? Are you all ready? Are we ready to go against this mobster team called Mossad? Because that's what Rahm Emanuel is representing right now. He's straight up a Mossad mobster. And those are mobster moves that he's pulling right now. And if we are not prepared and ready to go to battle to deal with Israel, this is where this is coming from now. You got to know these are the mobster moves that they're pulling right now. And so instead of talking all this other stuff, let's be ready and go to war for real.
Okay, Michelle. Thank you, Michelle. Let me just say that we keep just – it's not just Rahm Emanuel that we're fighting in terms of what's going on with the black community. He's the part that's – he's the mayor right now, along with all the elected officials we put in that's supposed to be looking out for the interests of our community. We got an internal, external problem. We got a holistic approach to this that we are under attack from every different direction, from everywhere. And what I can't understand, how can you be over the Urban League and be on the Board of Education? I don't understand that because it looks like it could be a conflict because you might have to fight. I remember when the board sued, when the Urban League sued for the school. So I don't understand that. It's like we have got to really look at all of this violence. Not only just the physical violence, but this mental violence coming from these black folks who have made it because of black people, who are to poverty is money involved in poverty. And we got to deal with the internal, external, all of this stuff. And look, this money about the right to passage, it's a lot of money that these folks are playing with. And, you know, we cannot be cowards. We can't be cowards. Play D.D., I'm going to play a little bit of Charles Bevel.
Hey, Dorothy.
Hey, D.
Hey, I'm glad you challenged, man. So, you know, that's our problem. And Michelle was right. You got all these Negroes going around here talking about, you know, all these black names, man songs, this and that. But I'm glad you raised that question. Hey, what's that got to do with what's going on locally? And I thank you for people like Man Song just showed and hit that call to you earlier just how irrelevant and out of touch he is. Don't have the intestinal fortitude to deal directly with the problem, but he want to march these little marches. Go to City Hall and go to right to the store. stuff like others who had the guts to do it. That just gets on my nerves. Michelle is right. If you ain't really ready to fight, go sit down. So he called into your show every week with that foolishness, talking about Dorothy, we're going to be doing this. Man, get on the front line and show you got some guts.
Well, thank you. I think that we have to understand our international relationship with what's happening globally with the diaspora. But the diaspora in the other parts of the world have a country and they have currency. When you see a Nigerian, he didn't say, I'm from Africa, he said, I'm from Nigeria. A Ghanaian, I'm from Ghana. Anybody from the island say, I'm from Haiti, I'm from, Raoul would tell you, I'm from Haiti. Somebody said, I'm from Jamaica. The descent of enslaved Africans in America is from America, but we're all from the African continent. And we haven't had no sanctuary. We haven't had anywhere to go. A lot of our brothers and sisters who've come here was able to run and come to a country for some cover, some opportunities because of the fight, because of the blood that we have shed, black labor, white wealth. But the descendants of enslaved Africans in America have had no sanctuary. So we do have to fight. We got so many fronts to fight on. We got to fight on them all. But we got to stand strong here. We got to fight here. We can't just we can't cross State Street, you know, and go across the water before we stand and fight on State Street. And we can't be cowards. You got cowards, you got slaves. We got to fight, y'all. We got to fight. We got to fight. I'm calling on black men to take a stand. I'm calling you for the safe passage. We don't need this money from no done. Give us some money for jobs. Put real jobs in our community. All the things we need in education. Giving us those little peanuts while you're giving a big contract to these other folks. Give me a coward, I'll see a slave. Hey, what I see is really killing me. We don't have to take this, y'all. Hey, black ministers, I'm calling on you this summer. I'm telling y'all, we can't take this. Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord, Lord, Lord. Lord, 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 Lord. I heard a voice speak to me to come over here to the land of the free.
Land of the free and the home of the brave. I see cowards and I smell slaves. Hey, you are only going to be a slave.
But
I'm scared. It's troubling me that y'all allow this to do this to our babies.
Whoa,
Lord,
Lord, Lord,
dogs ain't barking.
Lord, 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 Lord,
Lord, Lord, Lord.
You take a gun, say you're gonna make me. It's like trying to start a love affair by kicking.
Woo, child's brother, y'all.
Doing what you do while saying what you oughta. Like trying to watch your face in cold. What I see really troubles me.
Y'all, that was Charles Bevel. That was Charles Bevel. That many people don't want to be free, y'all. I'm almost out of time here. A caller remind me the memorial there's for the deceased members of the military. Yes, but I'm talking about those who made it out who have friends. And that's why I just want you to know a lot of our folks have died. And Mr. Gardner was crying, and he said, I'm from the military. I'm from the military. Bob, how you doing this morning?
How you doing, Dorothy? I just wanted to know, could you please do a show on the D2s? Because the unions control the Democratic Party, and we need to have a right-to-work state because we're surrounded by a right-to-work state, and we can get rid of those demonic unions.
Yeah, well, you know, one of the things, the reason I had the man from Illinois Commerce on today is because why do they need to all of a sudden sneak this law in? We got a lot of laws being put on us, and all of a sudden, it's these black codes. These black codes is getting us, Bob. Sure. Okay.
They told me yesterday that they had the unions gave people a blank check to get rid of you. So
oh, yeah, they came on me. They came on me real strong. They put money.
Get rid of them.
They came
good
after
luck.
Me because I was letting black folks work. Okay,
yes,
thank
ma'am.
You. Thank you so much. All right. Wesley, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Alderman Tillman. Miss you in office. and just want to say thank you for your continued fight for black people all across the city and across the country for that matter. What I want to say is we need to educate people who are in my age group. I'm 32 years old, and people who are my age and a little bit younger, mm-hmm. they don't realize what's at stake right now, and that's part of the problem. A lot of people are drinking the Kool-Aid and believing that these parents don't care. It's not that these parents don't care. A lot of them don't have tools, the resources, and not have not been properly educated. So what has to happen is the people who know better, we have to reach and we need to grab the people who don't.
Right.
And I do like a lot of mentoring, and also a lot of independent investigation. When I hear these facts and statistics that the mayor and Barbara Bird Bennett are getting out about, you know, how the schools are underutilized, yet they're not talking about the fact that they have nonprofit organizations who offer resources to these schools who have violence problems, high homeless levels. So those schools aren't underutilized. So what I challenge everyone to do is call your alderman on their crap. Call the mayor on his crap.
Uh-huh.
Be vocal about it. Show your support by where you spend your dollars in the community and let people know that we're not going to take it. And the only way we can do that is if we all come together, if we tell them, no, we're not going to take this, no, we're not going to let you screw our kids over and siphon off the Chicago public schools to the charter companies and UNO and all of these people who supposedly are supposed to be doing it for a cheap rate. But UNO was $12 million over budget and had to get money from the state. So it's not a more efficient way of doing it. It's
well, you know, I'll let you one on a little bit longer because you are young, and I'm glad you are young, gifted, and black. And it is. Black parents do care. Them other parents don't be up to school all the time. They're representative. You represent them. And when you got young folks like you, I know we're going to be all right. I know we're going to be all right. Thank you so much. And call back, okay?
Will do. Thank you.
Thank you. I think I want to. Do I have time to put a little bit of Anthony Hamilton's song or either Seal Johnson, one or the other? Is it because I'm black? It doesn't matter. I got to play a little bit before I go. I just got to play a little of this. Wesley, I hope you're still listening. We got a lot to do, y'all.
When the shots fly high and the sirens start to rain.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody worrying.
What's going to happen when they start walking from Overton to Mollison? Woo!
Ain't nobody praying.
What's going to happen when they don't get no education?
Ain't nobody worrying.
Woo, come on now, Anthony Hamilton.
No more, no more, no more. The homeless have nowhere to turn when their stomachs start to burn because they ain't got food to eat. A lot of children gonna learn when they gotta take turns because they ain't got books to read. Then our babies turn to cry, started getting high because the job train's kind of slow.
I tell y'all, we got to worry our babies, y'all.
No more, no more, no more.
They're our babies.
When the tears start to fall,
don't fight for our babies, who's gonna fight for? We cannot sell our birthright for a bowl of soup. My name is not Esau Jr.
You don't have to mourn, tell us on the way. Ain't nobody worried.
Ain't nobody worried. It's been a great day, Memorial Day. Y'all get together and talk about it. We've played, we have done a lot for this country. We fought in every war. We made it where people can come over here. Don't forget, we are the group, the only group that's 90% of us. We have not been standing getting no papers or in no lines. We built this country, and there is a place for folks to come. And Mr. Gardner said that he's a veteran. We had a lot of folks who have died in this country. And we don't have to take this, y'all. We don't take this. The mental and the physical cruelty that's going into our community is just as bad. Just as bad as what's going on us with the shoe. We got internal, external, and I think we're gonna have to fight. We also don't forget if you want to come to see what is this? Am I supposed to take this call? I don't know whether I have time to take it. Let me see. Hello? I don't think I'm gonna have time. I don't think I'm gonna have time to take this call. Hello?
Yes.
10 seconds.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you a question. The raise that the teachers got, you know, with the teachers union and stuff.
You need to call me back next week, and I got to go. I just took you, but it's going to take too long, man. Let's talk next week. So, look, y'all, we got to stand. We got to stand tall. We got to stand up. We got to fight back for our babies. We got to do that, y'all. We don't have to take this. I want to thank you for listening today. We don't have to take, a man can't ride your back if it's not bent, straighten up our back. But we have to come together collectively as a family, collectively as a people. There's nothing wrong with looking out for yourself. That don't mean you hate anybody else. Love black people don't mean you hate anybody. It's just to take care of your baby and not sell your birthright. Until next week, y'all, go ahead and kill me, call for tea in the car.